The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Now fill it with your power and presence, and open our hearts and minds to your word. Amen. I'd like to begin my sermon today by reading a story to you. I remember a story of a family of four visiting the grandmother at Christmas time. The mother, the father, the son, about 19, and the younger daughter had brought presents. But the grandmother was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. It darkens and dulls the brain. It's irreversible and terminal. The parents made all kinds of small talk, but there was no response from the grandmother at all. She just stared into the distance. Finally, they opened the presents. There was a bathrobe, slippers, shawl. The son gave her a photo album, placed it gently on her lap. Even then, there was no reaction. Finally, with a sigh, the mother made some lame excuse about the turkey in the oven, so they gave her a peck and left the room. The young man was the last to leave. When the others had gone, he came back to his grandmother, knelt beside her, held her hand. "Do you remember at Halloween how you let me stay up late? We have cider and those wonderful chocolate chip cookies you used to bake. And we watched the horror show together. Or the summer we had the cottage at Fairfield Beach. You'd show me the tidal pools, the shiners and minnows and fiddler crabs. And you'd recite the chambered nautilus. Or the summer we went to the Wrangley Lakes in Maine. One day we couldn't catch any fish. Nobody could. You told me to row to shore. We put some rocks in the boat and rowed to a hidden cove. I'll show you how to catch a fish, you said. They're asleep, taking a nap at the bottom of the pool. We've got to wake them up, so let's throw the rocks overboard. And sure enough, in half an hour, we caught our limit. Remember? But the grandmother's dull, distant stare didn't change. The young man squeezed her hand and kissed it. "I just wanted you to know, Granny, that I love you." He kissed her cheek, got up and left. However, as soon as the door closed, she stopped rocking. Her face lost that faraway look. She glanced down at the presents. She fingered the photo album. She smiled, a warm, gentle smile of remembrance. She nodded and whispered, "Yes, I remember." The young man, her grandson, never saw the smile of recognition. He never knew that his remembrance of summers past had given her a few moments of sunshine and joy. What a gift to illuminate the darkness in another's life by little acts of kindness that, at their very best, are unseen by others, and for which we receive no word of thanks. Hidden acts, noticed and remembered only by God. And yet those little acts of prayer, those little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love will help our loved ones to know the rapture of paradise. This morning, the gospel lesson tells us a story about a gift of mercy. Jesus is confronted by a woman who had been a cripple, we're told, for almost 18 years. And I know what that's like. My wife was one of those, in a wheelchair for 22 years. Need dependent upon people to get her around, dependent upon our van to take her to places that she wanted to visit and shop at. But in those days, for this woman, it was even worse because there were no wheelchairs for her. There were no motorized vehicles to take her from place to place. I mean, she literally had to rely upon her friends to pick her up on a stretcher and take her from place to place. And usually what they would do is they would pick you up in the morning, take you someplace like the marketplace or maybe to the temple or synagogue, and leave you laying there while you would beg for money from the passerbys, looking for strangers to just share a little kindness and give you a few coins, something with which you could live that day. Because you see, back in those days, there were no federal agencies to provide people with disability pay. There were no job training services provided which would help her learn a new and marketable trade. There was simply begging. There was simply depending upon family and friends and the kindness of strangers. And then Jesus comes along. He sees this woman. He feels her pain. He is moved. And he reaches down and lifts her to her feet. Twisted limbs suddenly straighten. Muscles that hadn't been used in years grow strong. She stands up straight. Now, this whole story is contrasted with another story in this gospel, with the Pharisee. The Pharisee who is upset that Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day. I mean, you see, there are strict rules about such stuff. There are strict rules as to what can and cannot be done on the Sabbath day. Jesus had clearly violated one of those laws. And so the Pharisee took him to task for what he had done. And what was Jesus' response to that? I don't believe you people. That was his response. I don't believe you people. You know, if it was the Sabbath day and you saw that your ox was thirsty on the Sabbath day, you would have untied him and taken him to a place where he could get a drink of water. Whether it was the Sabbath day or not, whether the Sabbath laws allowed for it or not, you would do this. And yet, this poor woman who has been a cripple for 18 years, this woman who had to beg for a few coins in order to live each day, this woman who had suffered all these long years, you would have allowed her to suffer another day. Which means, I guess, you worry more about ox than you do about people. What's the moral of the story? I guess we should be more concerned about people than oxen. We should be as merciful as Jesus was to this woman. You know, when we encounter situations in our life where people are hurting, the only question that we should ask is, what would Jesus do here? You know, that's what ministry is about in this place. We don't ask the questions of, what do we get out of it? Or how much do we make? Or how much does it cost? The only question we should ask is, what would Jesus do here? How would Jesus reach out and tend and care for these people? And you know, these kind of people, like this woman, are around us all the time. Sometimes we just don't see them. You know, I always say that one of the primary benefits of a ministry we did at Zion was that I began to see people. We started the service you heard me refer to as DZ at 6, where we would have a food pantry at 5, offer a hot meal to anybody who wanted free of charge at 5:30, and then a service at 6 if they wanted to stay. After we started that service, it was amazing how many of those people I had never seen before that were on the streets all around our church that suddenly I began to see and who began to wave at me. Hi. Hi, Pastor. And I got to tell you, one of the things that touched my heart the most about that ministry is one day I was in Bueller's. Now, if you know Worcester, you know Bueller's grocery store is downtown. It's right across the street from Zion. And I walked across the street to pick up something my wife wanted on the way home. And as I walked in, I saw one of these ladies who had been a faithful attender of our food pantry and our hot meal, even stayed for the worship that we did. And she was way at the end of one of the aisles and was standing next with another lady who I didn't recognize. And as I saw her, I said, "Hi, Karen." She said, "Hi." And as I turned to go to the next aisle, I heard the woman with her say, "Who was that?" And her response was, "That was my pastor." That's what ministry is about. I was her pastor. What are people worth? Well, I want to share a final story with you. A well-known speaker started off his seminar by holding up a $20 bill in the room of 200. He said, "Who would like this $20 bill?" Hands started going up. He said, "I'm going to give you this $20 bill to one of you, but first let me do this." And he proceeded to crumple the $20 bill up in his hands. And then holding it all in a wad, he said, "Okay, who still wants it?" Hands all still shot up in the air. "Well," he replied, "what if I do this?" And he walked out of the pulpit, threw it on the ground, took his shoe, and ground it into the floor with his foot. "Now," he said, "who still wants it?" And, of course, the same hands went up. And then he turned to them and said, "My friends, you have all learned a very valuable lesson, because it did not decrease its value no matter what I did to that $20 bill. It was still worth $20. Many times in our lives, we are dropped, we are crumpled, and we are ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that come our way. And we may feel as though we are worthless, but no matter what has happened to us, or what will happen to us, you will never lose your value in God's eyes. To Him, dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you are still priceless, as all God's creatures are." Amen.